Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey guys, before this show starts, just want to let you know that over on Red Men Plus, our subscription service, we've got tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form as well. You love podcasts, we love making podcasts. Go and check it all out. That's redmenplus.com. Sign up for as little as £5 a month. You will not regret it. Now, enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It's the Match Build-Up Show. I'm Steve Hoare, joined as ever by Dan Club and by Abby Rugkin to talk about Liverpool's trip to Brighton later this weekend. Well, this weekend rather. It's Saturday at 3 o'clock. A rarity these days for the Reds, but yeah, and it's I'll be honest, it's probably a game that is full of a little bit of trepidation given the current state of Liverpool Football Club. If you're watching this right now on Twitter, do click the link, come and join us live on YouTube, and yeah, get yourselves in the chat and I'll bring up your comments and thoughts, etc. throughout the show. Right then, guys, might as well just jump straight into Abby, I'll come to you first. In years gone by, a trip to Brighton, you'd always have half an angle, that could be difficult, but you'd always have full faith in Liverpool to just go get the job done, and more often than not actually they have done that there. But I don't know, I might just be speaking for myself here, but like, I feel like it's hard to have that real full faith in them now. Mm-hmm. It feels more like, and I said this on our podcast the other day, it's like, I bet most neutrals, I think, and Brighton are probably going to win this game. Like, and that's a rare thing for Liverpool. Sometimes you'd say, well, they've got a chance of beating Liverpool, but I think a lot of people might actually just be picking Brighton to win this game, given the relative momentum of the two clubs at the minute.
It's not even just neutrals that think Brighton are going to win, to be honest. I think I feel like Brighton might win. I'm feeling really pessimistic at the minute, to be honest with you. I go into all the games as hopeful as I can, but I'm not expecting anything, which is a shame. But to be fair, the games this season that I've gone in not expecting anything, we've done the business, like the Man City game. To be fair, I went into that thinking there's no chance. Just based on current form, I don't know, I'm not feeling very hopeful at the minute. Especially with Virgil getting injured, and it looks like that's probably going to be about 5 weeks, maybe more. Feels like any time they talk to us about injuries, they'll tell us it's a certain amount of time, and it always seems to be longer. So I'm not feeling that hopeful, especially playing Brighton, who are on form at the minute. I mean, I took a look at the table before I came in, and I can't stand to look at us in sixth. And then when you look at the people behind us and how close they are in points, like Fulham are joint points for us in seventh, aren't they? Like, that actually makes me feel sick. If someone would have told me, like, at the start of the season, like, you're going to be, like, Fulham are going to be behind you, I'd think, like, Fulham had had some mad season and they were, like, in third or something.
And they probably have had a good season.
Yeah, they have, but not to what I would have expected, because I just didn't expect us to be in that position.
Oh, yeah, the Reds getting relegated. I mentioned the table, I've got it on the screen, if Joe can bring it up for me a second, Dan. But Liverpool are, as Abby says, only 1 point ahead of Brighton. We're sixth, they're eighth. Fulham are sandwiched in the middle, having played the game more. Obviously, Liverpool and Brighton were both involved in that weekend of fixtures where a couple of games got cancelled. Our game against Chelsea, their game against Palace. If you think about it, their game in hand is probably easier as well, which says something. But yeah, it's 6-8. There's only 1 point in it. And like you say, form-wise, it's weird because we've won four of our last five Premier League games. Brighton have gone win-loss, win-loss, win-loss. So the form actually is, we're probably in better-ish form per se, although they had a very good FA Cup win at the weekend where we obviously struggled. They battered Borough. But like, that's the thing, isn't it? It just feels, because of the, and I don't mean this as disrespectful to Brighton, so apologies if it comes out that way, but the fact that they are where they are and yet they feel like they're in a good moment and Liverpool are in a bad moment, again, it's due to club size, maybe strength of budgets and all that kind of stuff, wage bills. But there's only 1 point separating us, but yet it does feel like they're in a bit more of a better place
even if the league say, will suggest actually they're probably not, and the form guys suggest they're probably not, but that'd be fair to say.
Yeah, 100%. It's about expectation, I think, that, isn't it, more than anything? Because everyone's sort of, Brighton and Fulham, to some respect, everyone's going, oh, how amazing they're doing. And whereas Liverpool's the opposite end of that spectrum, because what we've been used to, everyone's like, what's happened to Liverpool? Like, why are they now not the force they were? So, yeah, I think sort of the narrative around both clubs is very different, despite us being ahead of them in the table. It doesn't feel like that in many senses, because our performances have been so underwhelming, whereas Brighton are probably still punching above the weight, you'd have to say, in terms of size of club and all the rest of it. So, yeah, I think the big thing for me is, even though our form on paper is better than theirs, I think the manner of some of the victories, theirs has actually been more impressive. Like, some of the results we've got of late, even before the World Cup, was like, yeah, we're winning, but we're not exactly firing all cylinders. Where if you look at some of Brighton's, the Everton one in particular, you think, God, they are putting teams to the sword, you know what I mean? With conviction, which is something they never used to do, certainly under Potter. So, I think, in terms of momentum and trajectory, it's hard to argue that Brighton aren't in a better place than we are right now,
which
really.
Which is mad. And, yeah. And also, again, sorry to be the pessimistic, we will get to some positive surely later, but Abbey, like, the 3-3 at Anfield earlier this season does little to ease the nerves. They were 2-0 up after 17 minutes. Trossard scored, obviously. We get it back to 2-2, then go to 3-2, and yet we can't hold on. And I think it's 20 minutes at 3-2, and then they Trossard gets his hat-trick. And again, it was the same manager. Like, that was after Potter, so it wasn't like they had a change since then. That's another one that does little to ease the nerves, that we've seen this team already beat Liverpool with arguably better defenders on the pitch. You mentioned the Van Dijk stuff before. That does little to ease the nerves, knowing that we're playing against a team who we know have scored goals against us this season. They've continued to score goals against everyone, really, Brighton, to be fair, at least recently.
Exactly. That's the thing. I feel like I went into that game thinking, oh, this is a potential banana skinny, and that's exactly what it was. And maybe that's part of why I'm feeling so like pessimistic about it. Trossard did get a hat trick in that game, and I think we're gonna come on to the fact that he's out, isn't he, for this
potentially
game. Potentially out. But I said that when we were playing Brentford about Ivan Toney, I was like, we'll be sound. And then they ended up bloody battering us. But yeah, you know, I can't even look back on that 3-3 game, because I literally thought when we made it 3-2 that we were going to pull points out of the bag. And I remember all last season saying to myself, like, oh, well, that's how you win titles, you grind out dirty wins. But this season, it's just slow and pathetic, and it just feels like we don't know how to press. I feel like I'm being dead negative. Like, this is probably the first show I've come on where I'm being dead negative. But after that, like, Wolves game, and having to have the replay in the cup, I'm feeling like rubbish about it. And looking back on that, when you look at last season, those games were like, oh, that's why we didn't win the title. And this season, it's probably, we're going to look back and think that's why we didn't get top four. So we're going to
I hope I'm wrong as well,
to be fair. But, you know, we'll see.
But while we're in a bit of a Brighton loving, Dan, I might as well go on to it. So since the restart, they beat Southampton 3-1, got beat by Arsenal 4-2, beat Everton 4-1, then beat Borough in the Cup 5-1.
Yep.
They haven't really got a centre forward, but yet they've scored in recent games, there's been a lot of goals. They've scored at least three in all of them. They've conceded a few as well, which is fair enough. But like, high scoring games, it feels like this one could be another one of those where they are attacking well even without a centre forward. I know they've put young Ferguson up front recently, and he seems to have done all right for them. But yeah, we're a team who concedes a lot of chances. They're a team who scores a lot of goals. Again, it's just another worry. The flip side is, like I say, you can't score against them. But it does feel like I say, that you'd be shocked if you were doing both teams to score better at some point. I mean, the odds are on both teams to score almost certainly.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think both teams are a little bit porous at the back, to be honest with you. And Brighton have exposed us a couple of times. Obviously, we referenced the Anfield game, but the one last season as well, where we went 2-0 up and they got back into it, that should never have been allowed to happen. You know what I mean? So they've exposed our weaknesses, perhaps before most clubs actually in the Premier League, to be honest with you. People are kind of following their mould, if you like, in terms of that you can get at Liverpool. So, but yeah, I think De Zerbi's definitely brought an extra element to them, an extra bit of excitement. And obviously they sold their world-class centre forward to Everton, didn't they, and Neil Mopay.
Yeah,
so they've had to sort of rejig what they do in that sense, but he's done it brilliantly, and it's something Potter couldn't manage. He couldn't work it out during his time there. He couldn't find anyone to put the ball in the back of the net. But De Zerbi's definitely changed something. They're clearly not as defensively sound as they once were. So that's something from a Liverpool perspective we can go in and think, yes, we might be able to get at them. We've got our attackers in relatively okay form. Salah's still scoring goals and stuff. So there are chances there for us, but the concern is just how easy it's been for teams to get at us. And a team like Brighton in pre-scoring form like that, that's a big worry.
Yeah, well, definitely it is. I suppose the other one to mention before we move on to Liverpool later, second part of the show, Abs, is Caicedo. He's been linked heavily to Liverpool. The latest news is that he might be going to Chelsea, as is seemingly every player under the sun. At time record, I think Chelsea play Fulham tomorrow. God knows who's going to be in that Chelsea 11 at that point. But it does feel like I say, that especially given Liverpool, I've got midfield issues, which we're definitely going to speak about in the second part of the show. It is going to be all eyes on Moise Caicedo to think well, he's being linked to the Reds. What's he like? Can he do well? He's done well against Liverpool before. It does feel like everyone's going to have... It was a bit like Matheus Nunes the other day. Everyone had a little half an eye on him. It does feel like everyone's going to have half an eye on Moise Caicedo this weekend as well. Yeah.
Feels like a bit of an audition, really, in front of Klopp, doesn't it? It does feel like we have signed players in the past that have performed well against us. You know, you look at Alisson and players like that, even though when Alisson did play against us, he did concede about 7 goals. But yeah, literally 7, yeah, I think it was. But I know we're going to come on to the midfield, but I'd love for us to have him. But every single name we've been linked to, I've gone, yeah, just sign him. Yeah. Just get him in, just bring him in, you know. But yeah, I mean, I'll definitely be keeping my eye on him, to be fair. But I don't want him to impress too much, because that means that we're probably not shutting him down very well. But,
no, you're right, you're absolutely right. And I suppose, Dan, again, Mr. J Mango, nice name in the chat, says there. I'm with what I say, though. Him and McAllister have the ability to run the midfield. And McAllister hasn't actually been in the team recently since he got back from the World Cup. They've been drip-feeding them in, but they've certainly got options in midfield. That's one place that they certainly have got, even without Trossard, do we think, like I say, it could be out. It does feel like we're going into a game where you're thinking, actually, Brighton's midfield might be a net plus for them, which in itself exposes what the issues Liverpool have found themselves in, both fitness, injuries, form, and transfer-wise. It does feel like if you look at both midfields, you think, and it's very rare you'd ever really say, I think Brighton have got the edge, and Brighton have probably got the edge in that.
Yeah, well, it plays into what you were saying before about the betting odds and what the neutrals think. I haven't looked at it yet, but you'd imagine that the betting odds should be a lot closer for a game like this than they would be normally, just given the form of both teams. But yeah, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's right. Games are won and lost in the midfield. Now, going into this one, our midfield is in a real poor place right now. Individually and as a collective, we're not doing anything particularly well. Whereas they are, you mentioned McAllister not being involved, but it hasn't really stopped them, has it?
It's Gross and Caicedo play against
Everton. Pascal Gross is a really good player. They've kind of dealt with the Bissouma moving on really well. They've been really impressive since that. And obviously they lost Wepa as well, because he had to retire, didn't he, early on the season. So fair dues to Brighton and De Zerbi in terms of how they've managed to deal with those two things. I think Lallana kind of flitting and out of that team as well, which is interesting.
Yeah, Sarmiento started against Everton, I think. And Matoma's had a really good...
He's a left wing, he's been superb.
He's playing it's almost like a 4-2-3-1, so they cover up for a little bit with numbers as well.
He would actually sort of soften the blow if they do miss Trossard, because he kind of been sort of interchanging him a little bit. That'd soften the blow if in that respect.
Yeah, him and Solly Marsh have been playing, with either side. They are a dangerous team, that is for sure. But like I say, we're going to speak about Liverpool very, very shortly after the break. And before we go to the break, got a trivia question for you guys in the studio and all you guys at home. Since we've been bigging up Brighton a little bit as well, and we've been talking all about it, well, did you know Liverpool have played Brighton so far 6 times at the Amex Stadium? That's once in the Cup and 5 times in the league. Let us know, you guys can as well, let us know in the chat after the break. I want to know, how many times have Liverpool lost at the Amex Stadium? So we have 6 games, 1 in the Cup, 5 league games. How many times have we lost there? While I have a little think about that one, just want to give you a quick heads up on our latest Red Men Plus competition prize. So yeah, take it away with the prize, Mr. Chris Pager.
A few weeks ago, I was lucky enough to sit down with Liverpool left-back Kostas Tsimikas. I was able to get an interview with him, to get some quick-fire questions done, and I was lucky enough to host a Q&A with him and John Aldridge at Hotel Anfield in Liverpool. Now, while I was there, I also managed to get him to sign this Liverpool shirt for you guys. So if you want to be in with a chance to win this incredible signed Kostas Tsimikas shirt, then all you need to do is go to redmenplus.com and sign up as a club legend for this month's prize draw.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There you go, welcome back. Yeah, if you want to get your hands on that signed Kostas Tsimikas, which is how he told us we say his name in that interview with Chris Well, in that Kostas Tsimikas shirt, then yeah, become a Red Men Plus club legend. If you're one of our club captains already, simply go to the website and upgrade your account. If you've never joined us before, head on over to redmenplus.com, like say, if you sign up as a club legend. We'll be doing that draw at the end of the month, and of course, not only are you in the half of that, but you get loads of amazing content as well. There's loads of documentaries, features, interviews, weekly shows, yeah, there's loads of changes coming to Red Men Plus, and we're excited to bring them all to you, but yeah, get in early and get yourselves potentially your hands on that Kostas Tsimikas shirt. Right then, before the break, I asked you guys and everyone at home how many times Liverpool have been beaten at the Amex. Dan, you said
I'm not sure we have.
Abby wasn't.
I was feeling a bit negative at first, but I think that's just because I'm in a negative mindset. But I'll go with you.
Clarence in the chat says none as well, and Lewis says none. I reckon two draws and four wins. Well, let me go to
one draw, five wins.
Let me go to the amazing guys at LFC History. So we first played them in the League Cup in 2011 and won 2-1. Battered them 5-1 in the league in 17. Won 1-0 in the league in 19.
I was there.
3-1 in the league in 2020. Drew 1-1 in November 2020. That was the
Welbeck
debacle. And then last season, beat them 2-0. We haven't ever lost there. Touch wood, that continues. Last year was the when the goalie knocked Luis Diaz out.
Yes,
completely
the header,
cold. And didn't, for some reason, didn't get sent off. Absolutely.
That was Mike Dean reffing, that was.
Yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. Actually, their record at Anfield against us is better than, in recent times, is better than the record at their place. Obviously, the 3-3 draw, the 2-2 draw, and obviously they beat us 1-0 in the pandemic season as well. So, yeah, Liverpool's record at the Amex is pretty good, which I'm holding on to. I'm going the game at the weekend. When I first booked the ticket, I was like really positive. That's the crumb of comfort that I'm certainly holding on to.
I'm not making you feel any better about that with all my negativity.
No, listen, mate, I did a podcast the other day, and me and Paul nearly had a fight because you told me how bad we were facing at the moment. Yeah. Let's move on to the Reds then, Dan, because it's fair to say, like I say, form-wise and results-wise are two completely different things. Liverpool have actually done all right results-wise recently. Mm-hmm. I know the loss against Brentford was a killer and obviously drawn against Wolves, but before that, they were doing okay results-wise. They'd scraped a couple of wins, both pre and post-World Cup. But like I say, we're going into this one. As it stands, we're recording this on Wednesday, just to clarify. We know for the fact there's no Diaz, there's no Jota, there's no Van Dijk, and there's no Artemelo. I don't know, it's a figment of everyone's imagination at the moment. Firmino and Milner, we're unsure about the time recording, but the expectation was both would be training. We'll wait and see on that one. And then Bacetic missed the Wolves game because he had a slight issue that I think was reported in The Athletic. So that's where we are in terms of fitness and wise. But before we talk about players and stuff, I mentioned on the podcast, again, apologies, I'll put it onto you guys, I wonder if he's thinking of a change of formation now. As it got to a point where Jürgen's thought, you know what, we're a bit crap. And he mentioned, we can't win a tackle and all that kind of stuff. And I put it to you, Dan, do you think, is there any semblance of a change of shape? He could, if Bobby's fit, for example, he could play all four attackers. Mm-hmm. He could go Gakpo on the left, Nunes up front with Bobby in the 10, or whatever, Gakpo in the 10, and Nunes left, and Firmino. Do you think there's a sense where he goes, you know what, we're struggling in midfield anyway. Mm. Why don't we just try and outgun Brighton, out put more numbers on? Do you think he's even considering it? Because he has been quite hesitant to move away from the 4-3-3, and when he has, earlier this season, he's quickly gone back to it as well. So,
yeah.
Do you think it's been in his mind? He'll have had a week from the Wolves debacle to sort himself out if he wants to.
I maintain that he'd rather play 4-3-3, regardless.
I tend to agree.
Yeah, regardless. And I said this the first time round. We had the conversations around the formation. A few people were crying out for a change. And listen, I get the need for a change because it's not working. We're not playing very well. But to your point, I think you mentioned a couple of times in the office and stuff, there's good players there. Just be better. just do it better, like do the 4-3-3 like we used to do. For me, if he's going to change, ironically for me now, he is the key to that. He is absolutely the key. If he's available, if he's fit and available, ready to go from the start, yes, we can change formation. We can go to a 4-2-3-1 because he is the difference maker in that formation, in the 10. No one else can really do it.
Like Gakpo could maybe.
We could look at Gakpo potentially, but he's so new to the side. So asking to be new to a side and play a role that he's not hugely familiar with, like it was all well and good giving him his debut after a few days of training in a left wing role that he's done all season for PSV. But to then go, oh, by the way, I know you haven't done it loads this year, but can you also play in this 10? In this new side with people you've barely met, that's hard to do for me. So I would say if Firmino's fit, then yes, we could go to that new formation with him in the 10. You could look at Carvalho as a role he's done at Fulham, but that's a big call to go from not really being fancied to again,
well,
new role.
He's way down the pecking
order. That's what I mean.
For some reason.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then outside of that, I mean, Harvey Elliott normally could do it. I don't see anybody else. It's got to be Firmino. So if he's not fit, if he's not ready to go from the start, if he's on the bench or whatever, it's 4-3-3 and go out there and do it better. If Firmino can play, I'd be tempted to change it.
Yeah, fair enough. Would you agree, Abs? What would you do?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. To be fair, I think he would throw Bobby in if he's available. Didn't Bobby get 2 last time in that 3-3?
Yeah.
I think Bobby scored twice. Yeah, I'd throw Bobby in if he was available.
Would you do that as a change of formation, or would you do that just coming in for Gakpo, for example?
I'd say coming in for Gakpo. I just can't see Klopp going away from the 4-3-3. Like, he tried it last time and clearly he didn't like it and didn't work. I can't see him going back to that. I don't know whether it's just the sense of like, oh, I was wrong sort of thing, pride thing, but I can see him staying with 4-3-3, which, to be fair, if it was up to me, I might go for like a 4-2-4 situation, but it's not up to me. I mean, I feel like when I'm saying this, it's sort of like, what would I do and what would he do? I can just see him, he's going to stick with the 4-3-3.
I think I would probably change it if they were off it, but I'm with you. I don't think Jürgen would. On that then, Dan, who knows, Bobby might not be able to. If he is available, would you think he comes straight back in, or do you think it's on the bench to look after him a little bit? Because we've got Cody Gakpo, he isn't just desperate to rush him straight back in. If he feels like, you know, maybe Bobby off the bench could be an option.
Or what
do you think he will do?
I think if he's fit, I think he comes straight back in.
And put Nunes out on the left.
Yeah, I do. And go to what we were looking at sort of prior to the World Cup and that front three that played exclusively for a while because of the injuries.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think Cody Gakpo reverts back to probably what he was originally signed for in terms of, like, you're going to get drip fed into the side and eventually, there you go, you'll be off and running. And I think the sort of the talk has been that Gakpo might be pulled out of the firing line. Listen, if Bobby's not fit, you pretty much don't have a choice. Because there's obviously Gakpo out there than, with all due respect, Oxlade Chamberlain or Carvalho. They just play the role differently. So I'd rather it be Gakpo. But like I say, I think if Firmino's ready, which I think he should be because he himself came out and said originally he'd be back for like the Brentford game. Obviously, it's been protracted since then, but I'm hopeful and I think he should be ready to go. And if he is, I'd get him back in.
Yeah, I think 10 to agree. I'd get them all in if it was me, but yeah, I don't know if Jürgen would do that. We touched upon it earlier when we bigged up the Brighton team. Abs, I'll come to you. Midfield is the worry that everyone's got at the moment. Even everyone's desperate for signings, us included, but that's not going to happen by Brighton. Even if they did it, someone's going to be in. So he's got what he's got. As we're led to believe that pretty much Pochettino's just the only one, and obviously half Milner maybe, who might be without, but in terms of he's got available, he's got Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, Keita, Elliot, Jones played for the 21s the other day, so he's an option. Like I say, it depends what your class Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain has these days. He's got numbers, but as I'm reading them out, there's doubts about all of them for different reasons, whether it's form, fitness, quality, injury, whatever it is at the moment. It's an ideal situation. I think we found ourselves, and I think that's putting it mildly. What do you think he will do in midfield? Because the general sense is that everyone just goes, well, he's probably going to go for Fabinho, Henderson, Thiago, and that'll box it off. But like, it didn't really box it off in midweek, did it? If anything, it was crap. He has got a decision to make in there. What do you envisage him doing?
I mean, I don't think he'll make any changes to the midfield. I think he'll stick to Thiago, Fab and Hendo, to be honest.
Would you do the same if it was you?
They're all struggling. Like, I mean, Fabinho's doing better than he did because he had such a poor start to the season to the point where I was just thinking, like, bin him off, get him off, keep him out sort of thing, which is horrible looking back on it. But, Fabinho's struggling, but he's improved. Thiago, I think it was about 3 games ago, I thought he had, like, one of the best performances he's had for us. But at the same time, it was because he was doing everything everyone else isn't doing it. Henderson is struggling.
He's in a bad
He's really
form,
struggling.
Isn't
he can't pass the ball. He either puts too much on it or doesn't put enough on it. He doesn't know how to press anymore. And I don't know if that's come on with age or what, but I'm struggling to think of like positive things to say about Henderson recently, and like I don't want to put him like in the firing line or anything, you know what I mean?
No, it's fine. I think he'd be the first to agree. He's not playing
he's
well.
Struggling, yeah. He's struggling.
He's definitely struggling. Dan would love Naby Keita. If I was to start this game and do well, Liverpool could do with it. It should be him. It really should be. At the moment, he's like his prime age. He's got no miles on the clock. He can't stay fit, which is the main problem we've had with him. Mm-hmm. I thought against Wolves, he came on, looked bright, and then went to shit like the rest of them kind of did. But I keep going back to that FA Cup game against City when it was Fabinho, Thiago, Naby, and I think Naby played more on the right hand.
Which doesn't like him.
Which he doesn't really do and I thought it worked really, really well. I think if it was me, I would be trying to go to Naby. Could you see Jürgen doing it? Again, he should be the most energetic. Whether his body can cope with that, I don't know. But if you're getting a game where you can just say to him, listen, go and just run for an hour and then we'll take you off. We'll protect you. And that could be when you bring Jordan on, for example. I feel like somebody just really needs to try and step up. And I thought he was doing it against Wolves until it went a bit horribly wrong.
Yeah.
It could be that he goes, listen, I know you might be leaving. Can you just go to the well for me one more time? Please, we need you to do something here.
And he's the point of difference in this entire midfield for me, because it would be so easy to name that same three, but like you say, it just didn't work in any way, shape or form against Wolves, so I'd be tempted not to. I think Henderson is the one who probably misses out. I think Thiago's absolutely superb, like there's no two ways about it. I think even he has been part of the reason we've been struggling lately. I think some of his decision making could be better, but what it is, he's such an on the edge player. He's like on the edge of brilliance and genius all the time. There's a fine line, and that's okay when you're playing well and your midfield can cope with stuff, but when we're in a shape like we are and he's still doing the same things, like, oh, just keep it a little bit simpler for me, you know what I mean, stuff like that. But I think he stays in, Fabinho stays in, because like Abby says, his form has been improving recently. It's hard when you're struggling as a side and you're having to deal with so much stuff, but he's getting better. So for me, it's the Henderson role. I think Henderson needs to be taken away for this game. Who captains a side there? Better be Andy Robbo, won't it, after that, or even Trent perhaps, probably Robbo after that, won't he, which he's fine with, by the way.
He looked like a captain the last few when he's had
the Brentford game in particular, wasn't he? I think absolutely sound with me that we might need someone of his ilk to give him a bit of a rocket, to be honest with you. But yeah, I think Keita, as much as I don't really like him from the right, and I don't like the fact we're playing players who are pretty much going to leave the club, I think where we are now, it has to be Naby Keita, because he's the only one really who's shown that little bit of high quality life, I think, in midfield for a couple of weeks, apart from Thiago probably. So yeah, Harvey Elliott kind of needs to be kept out of this fray, I think, for a little couple of weeks more just yet. I don't doubt his ability. I think he's going to be a brilliant footballer, but I'm not sure, given the struggles he's had, I'm not sure we should throw him straight back in the deep end yet. So I think it's got to be Keita. And on Keita, he is playing for his future, not at Liverpool necessarily, but his footballing future. So he needs some sort of form to get the move he wants, because otherwise he's going to find himself with some less than sort of impressive offers, I'd imagine, in the season, just for a lack of football. So he's got between now and June, July, or whatever, to kind of say, listen, I'm still a very good player.
I feel like if Naby starts, though, he'll be like on the floor getting stretched off within 40 minutes. It's terrible.
He did miss a training session as well recently, didn't he?
Yeah, I thought his name would be on the injury bit.
But you can't, that could be anything.
He came on the other day, didn't he? So we're going to presume. I mean, it's a massive presumption to make, presuming Naby Keita's fit, because anything could go wrong.
Make you say that?
Yeah, just history dictates that. You probably have to keep half an eye on that one. But yeah, Jürgen's press conference isn't until much later in the week, so we won't really know until then. Obviously, we'll keep an eye on how the training. Right, then usually, by the way, we speak out our BetMate stuff here, but just to let you guys know, if you're wondering where that is, we're moving our BetMate integrations and our sponsorship with BetMate to our live watch-alongs of a weekend. We're trying to make it a bit more interactive, so yeah, keep an eye on the watch-along this weekend, the Team News React Show and the watch-along. You've got Chris and you've got Chloe in for that one, the Dream, another Dream team. I'll be down at Brighton as well, so I'll be doing some stuff from there, but yeah, keep an eye on the watch-along this weekend, and if you're one of our BetMate players, keep an eye on there and you can get involved there. Right then, we've got to pick a team now. We always got to be one of your 11s. We'll obviously keep an eye on the show for the starting 11 prediction, where we guess what Jürgen's going to do. But Dan, I've just put a cap and glasses on. He doesn't wear glasses no more. No, you've had your eyes on. Put your cap on and make yourself Jurgen Klopp and pick yourself a team for Brighton. If I run through names, tell me if I'm guessing the back four, we're all going Ali, Trent, Robertson, Matip, Konate, Fabinho.
Yeah.
Take it away.
Nice. Thiago and Fabinho are definitely the two. I think, you know what, I'm going to say, I'll stick to 4-3-3. I'm going to say Naby Keita. I think Naby Keita comes in, and then I'm going to go Firmino through the middle, Salah and Nunes to the left of him.
That's what I personally do, but I think we're going to see an unchanged side from the Wolves game. I can still see Gakpo playing and Henderson playing. I just have this feeling that was sort of a test for it. It didn't go very well, you know, really. Now we've got to do that replay. Really bad test, but I can still see him making an unchanged side. I don't know why. I just have this feeling.
I think he's going to change it, and I think he's going to play all four attackers.
He must be tempted to go fire with fire. He must be tempted.
I think it's more about getting two in midfield, like who don't have to do, whose job is, right, we're getting ran through the midfield the entire game. If we just say to Thiago and to Fabinho, you stay, Robbo, you can go, and then Trent's not attacking much anymore anyway. Mm-hmm. So you've got your two defenders, you almost like your typical box. Mm-hmm. And I think you say to teams, if you want to attack us, do it down the flanks, and we'll try our best to cope with it. We haven't always done so, but we can't just. I just don't see how we can allow teams to just keep running through the middle. No. So I think, and this depends a lot on Roberto Firmino, of course, but I think he'll go to a 4-2-4/4-2-3-1 and have Firmino centrally. I think he'll stick with Gakpo left and Nunes up front and Salah on the right. If Bobby isn't really able to do that, I think he'll probably play Naby just for a bit more legs. But again, I think we are like clutching the straws a little bit there with what's available to us. But yeah, I think that's what he will do, actually. I've just got a sense that I think the comments after the game, Abby, when he said we can't win a tackle and we keep losing the fit. We're losing one challenge and teams are in on us and they're running into our box unopposed. I just don't think we've got the personnel at the moment who can stop it and allow us to attack with enough vigour. The issue we're having is that we're pushing them forward to try and attack and we're leaving ourselves vitally exposed. Yeah. Getting that one attacker on, you can almost say you four plus a bit of Andy Robbo go and attack and you five almost get yourselves into a shape. That's why I see him doing it. But like I say, maybe I'm just clutching us. I might just be clutching us a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Paul Joyce said, like, Jürgen's telling them what he wants them to do, but they're not able to do it anymore. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We don't have the legs anymore. And it does sound dire, to be fair, but I think that's the situation that we're in at the minute. I mean, I'm not questioning Jürgen's ability, but I'm questioning whether the team still have the legs and the ability to do it anymore. Which is a shame, really.
Yeah, I definitely have. I mean, I think that's the main issue here. We all talk about intensity and the ability to press, and that's what we've kind of built our entire sort of stable on under Jurgen Klopp. Mm-hmm. That's been sort of our thing, and nobody's done it better than us in the world, and that's just gone. Whether it be over football or over football last season on its own could be a thing, and let alone what's gone before.
Just lads got old. Age is
clearly a factor as well, but age coupled with sheer football is obviously a problem. But yeah. I tend to agree with you, and that means you might have to change the way you approach it or add new faces, and we haven't had the new faces yet, so we might have to change the way we approach it, you know what I mean? But it just dawned on me a minute ago, actually, that Naby Keita was sort of the point of difference in the game at Anfield last year against Brighton, because he came off, didn't he? He actually came off when we were tuning up, I think. We were sort of flying, he came off, and the whole face of the whole game changed from there on out, so he could be big part of this one as well.
Absolutely right. Then let's move on to other things that happened. We'll brush past Fulham Chelsea tomorrow at time recording. I mean, there's a chance Liverpool go into this game behind Fulham in the league, but we'll pass on. Friday night you got Villa versus Leeds. You got the Manchester derby on the 14th of Jan. Again, in terms of Liverpool, you're probably hoping Manchester City win that these days, which is how the mighty have fallen. We've gone from occasionally hoping that Man United was a favour to hoping potentially now that one. So you've got Wolves, West Ham, Forest, Leicester. There's our game with Brighton, of course. Let me just open that one up further down. Everton, Southampton, relegation battle there.
6 points of that.
Brentford, Bournemouth, Chelsea again. Play Palace just a few days after that game they got against Fulham. And then obviously in the top four race, you've got Newcastle again against Fulham and then the North London derby as well, where again, we're probably all hoping for Arsenal to do something there, Dan. Mm-hmm. There are games there. I would be shocked if Man United, Tottenham and Chelsea all won those three games. You'd imagine someone there is dropping something. And obviously, I didn't mention Newcastle either as well. So you'd be shocked if all of them won. You'd probably fancy them, some of them, but not all of them. So there is, again, they're probably thinking the same now about Liverpool and Brighton. But that's what happens with the top four race. And I'll just switch over very quickly to the table. As it stands right now, like, again, there is a Chelsea Fulham game to take into account. But Newcastle in third on 35, Man United in fourth on 35, Tottenham in fifth on 33, and then we are 28. So we're 5 points behind Spurs, albeit with a game in hand to play against Chelsea. So it looks like we're not only trying to reel Tottenham in, we're also trying to get one of Newcastle or United in, but there are opportunities there for at least one, maybe both of those teams to drop something in derby games at least.
Yeah, there are. And that's what was so frustrating about the Brentford result in terms of we were sort of on the cusp of being right in the mix of that. Yeah, we still are, but really. So even the favourites, actually, given what we've done before, people would have been looking at us a point behind the top four going, oh, here we go again. Here at Liverpool, you know what I mean? So losing that game really hurt from two perspectives. But I think the important thing to remember in all of this for the rest of the season probably is just how sort of inconsistent you can be to get into the top four. Like, we did it obviously the year with all our centre-backs, we went on that run. Like, yes, our form doesn't dictate anything like we've seen before, and it's like, oh God, we're really struggling. But at the same time, teams around us are going to drop. We don't have to be as brilliant as we were to keep up with City anymore. That's not a thing.
Top four races aren't
that. That's not that. It's a different ball game altogether. Yeah, so we just need to keep that in mind. And yes, it's frustrating. It's really hard to watch at times. It's a bit of a graft, if anything, watching Liverpool at the minute. But like I say, I don't think we need to be, we don't need to be as brilliant to do what we want to do this season.
I'd get, like I say, it's weird because, like, the two teams going for you got Spurs and United, who are the teams who were really trying to hunt down, and I know Newcastle as well. They're both playing the two best teams in the league. Yeah. Arsenal and Manchester City are the two best teams in the league at the moment. Again, derby games might make it a bit different, but, like, from our point of view, you're just thinking, if we can beat Brighton earlier in the day, and then let Tottenham have to worry about going to Arsenal. Obviously, we should, I think, know the City game by that result. It does feel like it's a major opportunity for Liverpool to get themselves like right on the coattails before that Chelsea game, and when Chelsea could have a world 11 out by the time we play them again. Everyone seems to be signing for Chelsea at the moment, but yeah, it does feel like it's a big opportunity for Liverpool to claw that gap back here.
Yeah, it definitely is. I mean, I said it to Paul last week on the Brentford build-up, I'm getting proper fed up of having to care about so many other games. I used to just care about how Man City got on, and now it's got to the point where I have to watch Chelsea, I have to watch Newcastle,
is that a thing?
Fulham now and Brighton. I'm getting fed up of having to worry about these teams. Like, when they're playing, normally if it was Fulham Brighton, I wouldn't have to care.
Listen, mate, Brentford,
you can enjoy the game.
You can throw Brentford into that mix now. If we lose and Brentford win, they go above us as well.
So exactly.
There's a lot going on here.
I can't sit and relax watching these games. I have to sit there on edge the whole time now, and it doesn't feel natural to me anymore, not bothering about what Man City.
Top four races are exhausting.
They are exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right, you very rarely get more than a two-horse title race. I mean, there's an occasion where you had potentially three, but usually one drops off quite early on. The top four, I think now, Newcastle aren't going anywhere, Tottenham, Man United, Liverpool, Chelsea are coming up on the rails. Don't even rule Brighton out, although your history would suggest they might be an outsider. But there are 5, 6, 7 teams we've probably have got an eye on at least that fourth place spot as well, maybe even higher. So yeah, it is quite exhausting. You are right. It's where we are. But yeah, we've got a shout in here from Vidi. We need to hit the ground running and get there quickly because the top four race is already looking tight, and that is kind of where we are. So yeah, right then. Having said all that, score predictions time. You're very. I can see in your eyes you're going to say we're going to lose.
I know. Do you know what? I'll be nice.
No, no. You tell me what you think's going to happen. You can be honest, Donnie. We're all friends. You can be wrong as well. You've been wrong every other one, so you might as well tell it again.
And do you know what? I've never got it right. I was going to say, thank God you just didn't do the bet make thing with me, because I do terrible on that every single week. I was watching it and someone was like, whoever was on last week was terrible for the guest. I was like, oh no, 2 weeks in a row. But I think 2-2 is being positive from me. I'll say 2-2.
Desmond.
Go on then. We win 2-1.
I think we're going to win 2-1.
Do you? Do you actually think that?
I do, yeah. And it might be blind faith.
Yeah.
Signs, just signs of the shoot of recovery in our performance as well. That's what I'm going to say.
I think Ali has a big game. I think we're hanging on, and I think Ali has to save us a couple of times, which is, again, say Levy all season.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, again, yeah. In the chat here, Lucy's gone for 2-2 as well, as has Sylvie, and Derek's gone for a 1-0 loss. Hardeep's gone for a 3-1 win. So yeah, it's a very mixed bag of results. And that's kind of where we are with Liverpool at the moment. They had an inconsistent side, and that's why they are scraping in the top four battle and not challenging Arsenal and Manchester City at the top of the table. Right then, keep an eye, as I mentioned it earlier on before, but yeah, Jürgen Klopp's press conference rather Friday. Keep an eye on our YouTube channel or on our podcasting services. Yeah, all of our shows are available. By the way, if you're watching it on YouTube and you didn't know, you just search for the Red Men TV on your podcasting app, and they're all available as podcasts as well for you to listen to on the go if you haven't got the chance to sit and watch them, which again, the world's open again now, isn't it? So that's a lot of us. Keep an eye on that one. Like I say, opposition preview will be out on Friday. We've got Steve Plunk talking to Ryan Adset. That will be over on Red Men Plus. We've got the start of the 11 prediction show on Friday with Chloe. And as I mentioned earlier, Chloe and Chris will be back on the watch along on Saturday. So yeah, keep an eye on the YouTube channel. Keep an eye on Red Men Plus. Keep an eye on all of our social accounts, because yeah, even though the Reds might be breaking our hearts a little bit, we're still covering them from every single angle at every step of the way here at Redmen HQ. So yeah, thank you to Abby, thank you to Dan, thank you to producer Joe, and thank you to all you guys for watching or listening to this episode of The Build-Up Show. We'll catch you after Brighton. See you in a bit. Hey guys, hope you enjoyed that show. If you want even more Liverpool podcasts in your lives, do check out Red Men Plus. From as little as £5 a month, you can get tons and tons and tons of Liverpool content in podcast form. So yeah, go over to redmenplus.com, check out our amazing content. I'm sure you are going to love it.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.